We continue in the Rambam. We're in the laws of Bikurim, Perek Beis, Halacha Yud, Chapter 2, Law 10. The next two halachas or so is going to speak about certain requirements that have to be met in order for something to be chayiv in Bikurim. And one of them is that the produce must entirely be nourished from your land. And we will see what that is excluding. Yud, hanotea ilan besoch sadeo. A guy plants a tree in his field. As the tree grows, then what does he do? Vivricho, and he bends the branch in, and now it goes inside letoch sadeo chavero, into his friend's field, or lerishus harabim, or into the public domain. And most importantly, he does that without rishus. He does not ask his friend for permission, and obviously with rishus harabim, you can't attain permission. So what's going to happen is you're going to have fruits growing from the tree in your field, and then as it comes into the other guy's field, fruits going from his field. Now, what's really happening now? Both ends of both trees are nurturing from both fields collectively. Problem is, he only owns one of them. Or the reverse. He plants in his friend's field without permission. In the public thoroughfare without permission. And now it bends into the ground. Into his field. Or the base of his tree is in his field. And a little bit gets bent over into his other field. He has two fields, one here and one here, but guess what it's going through? It's going under the Rishus HaRabim, or under a private domain without permission, which splits in the middle. In other words, this is his field, this is his field. Here's a road in the middle. He plants, and then he sticks it underneath, and it comes out, and comes out on the top over there, let's say. Okay, any of these cases, but emtza beina ikur v'hatzad muvrach, and the private field of the public domain is between the main tree and the thing that got bent over. Eina mevi bikurim, you don't bring bikurim from anything. Lo mimasha holds b'shus that, not which came out into that rishus. V'lo minatzad shabrus harachim, or what's on the other side, doesn't matter wherever it is, doesn't matter shenemar, because it says bikurei ad masecha. The first fruits of your land, as you call hagidulim arugascha, it must entirely nourish from your land and not from other people's land. Okay, one second. Yes, sir.
If you plant an inch from the property line, your roots are going to be half on the other person's ground.
We will talk about that tonight. Okay. Yud Aleph. What if his friend gives him permission to bend into his field? Into his field. Even for just a short while. Now he may bring Bikurim because he has permission from the fellow. Now, see how close is going to be your answer now? What if his tree is close to the boundary of his friend within Dalet Amis? Onote liste chavero. Or it bends over into his friend's field. The tree is shading into his friend's field, which you're not allowed to do either one of those things. Although you're supposed to push your distance away, he can bring those bikurim and recite the psukim as necessary. Why shall menas kein hinchel Yoshua's oretz? Very interesting, because on this condition that you're not considered a thief, did Yoshua allow the Jewish people to inherit the land of Israel? Which means to say, although this is not in the 10 takonis that the famous Gemara brings, but this is one more, that they shouldn't lose out from the mitzvah of Bikurim, and therefore, only in Eretz Yisrael he allows this to happen. So although you're not supposed to do it, an Avera was done, but still Yeshua made this condition in order to bring more Bikurim, it is permitted. All right, and that's the main growth is obviously from your field, and that's Yeshua said that's the rule. Okay, next.
Can I just clarify something? We seem to be talking about whether you're obligated to or not, but it's in terms of can you. So I presume this is because it's a mitzvah that you would be deprived of if you did this under the thoroughfare.
You can't bring bikurim if it's not fully nourished on your property.
You really want to be able to bring bikurim as opposed to it's an obligation that you bring it.
It doesn't matter either way.
Just the way it's phrased.
If it's not an obligation, you're not allowed to bring it. You can't just bring anything as bikurim.
No, I understand, but the way it's phrased, it doesn't sound like you're off the hook. It sounds like you're now prevented from doing the mitzvah.
It's a semantics question. Mitzvah is not operative. So if you want to have a way of not giving any bikurim, do this.
Right, but that wouldn't be a very...
It doesn't matter. I'm just saying, this is
holy
dalacha.
Thing to do.
This is dalacha.
Like you don't want to avoid the ability to do the mitzvah bikurim.
Okay, fine. I mean,
all right, okay. We've talked about other things where it seems like you get off, like you're off the hook. But here, it's off the hook.
This is the rules, and if it fits this criteria, maybe you're chayiv. If it doesn't fit the criteria, it doesn't. All right, again, other instances where it's not totally yours. Ha'arisim, sharecroppers who do not own the land, but they get a percentage of the crop. They do all the work on the land, but they don't own the land. They get a percentage of the crops. Or v'achachirim, or people who, same thing as a sharecropper, except for not a percentage, they get a flat rate. Mm-hmm. They pay a flat rate. So it's not their land at all, although they're doing all the work. Ubalis roa, and bullies. Sha'onsin that coerce Esabam the owners to sell them the land. Velochim mehem artzos bepochos, and they begin them to sell their land for undervalue as opposed to equal value. Or vagazlonim, or someone who steals right in front of the guy, his field. All these people, einam mevim bikurim, they cannot bring any bikurim from whatever crops. If the owner gives up hope of getting his land back, because karka is never acquired by a goslin, it always remains the owner's. Shemnemer says, "Bikurei ad mosicha, the bikurim from your land." In every one of these cases, the land does not belong to you. The sharecroppers doesn't belong to you. The bullies it doesn't belong to you, and the thieves it doesn't belong to you, and therefore no mitzvah's done. I can't imagine the bully really would care to give.
What about the landowner?
Landowner is none of his crops. It's not his crops.
It's his land, not his crop, and the sharecropper is his crops, not his
It's land. The other guy. The sharecropper is the one who is raising all the crops, and he has, as it were, purchased all the crops. Then he just hands over a certain percentage to the owner. So it's going through the sharecropper. Sharecropper's doing all the work. He totally gets it all. He's just giving a percentage back to the owner. So either way, that's his payment. It's his, like a rental fee. So sometimes it's a percentage, sometimes it's a flat rate. But it's the sharecropper who is 100% the one who owns all the crops, and now he's got to pay back the owner a percentage. So therefore, the owner does not have to give any bikurim. Now, here's an interesting case.
No, he definitely can't give any bikurim.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yud Gimel, Hakoina Ilan Besol Sechor, if you buy one tree in someone else's field, and you don't make any other stipulations, I'd like to buy that tree. Okay, and that tree grows fruits. Well, guess what? The new owner of that tree, Einam Avi, cannot bring Bikurim from that tree because of Vishalan Karka. He has not purchased the land, and he didn't make any stipulation for that. So he doesn't own any of the land. On the other hand, Shalosha, if he buys three trees from someone else's land, even if he does not make a stipulation, Yeshlo Karka, by definition, when you buy three, it's understood that you get a little bit of land with that. The Afal Pisha Ein Lo Eli Lonus Balad, even though he only has trees per se, but he's given a little bit of land, he has permission to use the land. And as far as we're concerned, Harehu Kamisha Konakark, it's like the guy who bought the land and is considered like your land.
How does that work? If you just bought one tree, He's not going to uproot it, so is he stealing the nutrients from the land that he doesn't own?
Well, the owner's letting him use his nutrients, the owner's nutrients.
Yeah, he sold it to the trees.
The nutrients,
area, because you need three trees to have like
the nutrients.
I understand, but I mean,
the nutrition's coming from the owner's land, and I'm okay with that. He's not stealing. If I sold him the tree, I know it's going to nutriate. I don't know if that's the right word. From my land, from my land. So there's no stealing there, but he doesn't have any of the land. But when I sell him three already, I've got to give him a little bit of land. And that goes without saying, in between the three trees. That's enough. Kana Elon Echever, what if you buy one tree and you stipulate, now I get a little bit of land underneath the tree? I raise it maybe. Then he brings it, for sure. Now is a very interesting Chiddush in Yudalit. Let's say Mr. A has trees, crops, and land. Mr. B comes along and does the following. Halokeach, and now Mr. A has harvested all the apples off the tree, and the apples are sitting on the ground. Okay, halokeach peres tlushim. Now Mr. B buys all these apples that have been picked off the trees, and they're sitting on the ground. Then after that, velokach akarka, then he buys the land which the fruits are sitting on. He did not own the land when the trees were growing, the fruits were growing out of the tree. Hareza may become, he can still bring the Bikurim. Why? Shariyesh, because right now, as he's going to make the declaration of Bikurim, Yeshlo Karkbar, so he has land and he has the fruits that the came from. Alright, so it is the fruits of your land. Because right now, it's your land. Right now, because we're going to see later on, although you're supposed to initially separate Bikurim when it's on the tree, you can also separate Bikurim after they're off the tree. So now you got just this piece of land with apples on it. I buy the apples, and then a day later, I'm buying the land. So you can definitely say to Hashem that this is the first fruits of my land.
So is there a fee of both for him and the previous owner, both of them, on the same tree?
Didn't A have the...
The previous owner owned the tree while the fruits were coming out.
But he doesn't own the fruits anymore.
No, but he did. He did own it at the time.
But he didn't designate it as Bikurim.
So he
did not designate it as Bikurim. He doesn't own anything.
No, over. He didn't.
I don't know if he's over anything. That's irrelevant. That's not. Rambam's not talking about that.
Did he not have the obligation?
Rambam has not yet talked with people who refuse to give it. Okay. Okay. We don't know that. All we're knowing is the guy who purchases it chayev. So if the guy does not buy the land, he's not chayiv.
He can't make the statement now because he doesn't have the land or the produce.
Does it matter if he had separated before or not before the sale?
Well, if he separated, the game's over.
Yeah, then
he has to. We're talking about where there's no Bikurim been allocated yet. And there's also other things you could do, you know. But anyway, so that's, but here he's able to do it. Mochalo peros. Oh, what if the guy sold him fruits? Chutz min hakarka. But not with the land. Here, you could have the fruits. Here, I'm selling you the fruits on my land. Afilim chubarim, even though they're attached to the land.
Whoa.
Here it is. Mocher, the seller, ain't a mavi. He can't bring. Sure, ain't lovey. He's selling fruits. That's your issue there. Fellow kech and the purchaser, ain't a mavi. He can't bring it. Sure, ain't lovey. He's selling land. Now, chazer hamocher. Now, if the seller goes back, v'lokach haperes min olkech. Now he buys the fruits back from the guy who bought it from him. Then a reza maybe. Then he can bring it. Shereish lo karka peresu, because now the original owner has the land and he has the fruits. Okay, he's just, you know, repeating that idea because that's the complete circle on
that. Is that the situation with the husband and wife, that the husband owns the fruits and the wife owns the trees, so they wouldn't be able? Is that the situation that he gets the produce and she's the owner of the trees?
That's a good question. I have to think about that. She owns the land. Mm-hmm. He has his shtamshus of the fruit. Mm-hmm. I guess so. Next, Tesvav. Now, if you recall, only the land of Eretz Yisrael that was conquered when the Jews came in the land of Israel is the kind of Eretz Yisrael where that land is chayv and bikurim. We've already said Aver Hayarden is not considered part, even if a Jew lives there. Because let's say even a Jew owned land in Aver Hayarden after the first temple was destroyed, that would be considered a kibush yochid, an individual's conquest, and there's no kedusha. So based on that, the following, let's assume now, let's say a Jew sold a piece of land in Eretz Yisrael to a Goy. And then afterwards he buys the land back from the Goy. Would we in Eretz Yisrael, would we consider that repurchase like a kibush yachid, an individual's conquest, and maybe would not be chayiv in Bikurim? To which Rambam's going to say, no, the land never leaves the holy land of Israel just because a goy buys it. Hamocher sodeo l'goy, a guy sells his field to a goy v'chazal l'kocha, then he buys it back, mimeno. And for that matter, it doesn't be the original owners have the back, if any Jew would buy it back from him. And now he's got fruits growing. Hareza mevi mena bikurim mena Torah. He biblically is obliged to give bikurim. Shein nifkas mina mitzvah, because the mitzvah was not uprooted b'kinyan agoy, where the fact that goy owned it, because he doesn't have a kinyan in the land of Israel, as we already explained.
It's a good thing, because you'd have to do a real title search, because you have to go back to go ever own any of the land.
Doesn't matter.
It's like a Shemitah thing.
Doesn't matter. Tezai Asherah. An Asherah is a tree that a person went and prostrated and bowed down and worshipped it as an idol. Okay, now, the law is, if a Jew would do that to a tree, that tree is always prohibited. You don't have to knock it down, burn it down, it's finished. Something you can do with it. If a goy does it, a goy can undo it by just saying, I nullify any idolatry from it. And it's gone. So now, Asherah, an Asherah tree, Shebatlo, that a goy nullified it. And if a goy nullifies it, it's not considered an idol, a tree, in the future, but there are, let's say, fruits growing on it.
While he prayed
and now a Jew buys the tree from the goy after he nullified it. And now he got these beautiful trees, fruits growing on it now. He doesn't bring bikurim for that year only. Because no different than the other case, which one does he say? Where is that over there? Let's say an animal that you worship as an idol. What about the baby inside of it? Can't benefit from that either, but it has future babies, and the kid's nullified. You could. So the same thing over here shall be. Why? Because Bikurim are like the holy temple stuff, and it would be very, insulting that something that is usher from idol worship you're going to give as Bikurim. But subsequent years, after it's been nullified, and it's like a new baby is born to the cow, so then it's okay. But this year's is not good.
Can't you eat the fruit?
Yes, if it's well that first year. Yeah. Can you have? If he nullified it, I don't know. You could eat it. They just can't give it to the Beis Hamikdash. Uh-huh. Now your question of yesterday: Habikurim Ein Lehem Yudzayin Habikurim Ein Lehem Shir Menatar. There's no minimum amount for Bikurim. You give one fig, will be enough on the whole thing. One fig, if you want. That's a real not nice guy. But rabbinically, Tzarech Lahafrish Echad Mishishim, 1/60. Got 60 figs? Give one fig. What do you want to make your whole field be korum? Now, what if you want to make your whole field truma? Are you allowed to do that?
10%.
Are you allowed to make your whole field truma? No, because there's no hafrasha. There's been no separation.
Oh, right. You can give it as a gift, but not truma.
You can't give it as truma, right, because it's got to be separated. Can you give your whole field as miser?
No,
because it has to be precise a tenth. But here, if you want to do, you may. Why? Because the pasuk says, "Reishis kol bikure kol." The beginning of all your bikurim, which seems to imply you can give everything you want as bikurim. It's not a hafrasha. It's not a loch of hafrasha. You give it all away.
1/60 of what's already ripened?
What's going to be the crop there?
But no,
whatever's going to grow for that season, 1/60. Not this minute. Whatever you've got, 60 at the palm, 60 fig trees. But so take off from one of the trees. 1/60 of what is going to grow crop for the year. Obviously, you're going to pick the one that ripens first, but there are going to be others that are falling behind. You have an idea of what 1/60 of the crop you're expecting is going
to
be.
Does it have to be the first?
We're going to get to that. Yudches. Now, here's an interesting, I think we also discussed this idea. What if he frish bikurav? What if he separated already? He separated his bikurim. Here it is. This is my bikurim. Then a couple of days says, I'd like to give a little more. V'hosif aleihem, and he increases to them. Now, the word hosif here means you're increasing from a similar species. In other words, let's say you took off 1/60th of your figs. And then a day later, say, you know, I'd like to give some more figs. Right? Oh, itron. Itron literally means to make a crown, but it means you want to add on, but from a different species. Now you want to add a few pomegranates to it. Okay? So here's the law. Listen carefully. Harea tosefes, the tosefes, that means the increase from the similar kind, that is kabikurim. It will have the complete status of bikurim. It will have holiness and everything. You bring the whole thing together. And from that wording, he's excluding the etor, that if used from other fruits, it's not considered bikurim. Now, what's the big difference? A big difference is, because if you're going to give it to the kohen, what if you give it to the kohen? What if, let's say, I had to 1/60th of my pomegranate, of my dates, and now I throw in a set afterwards, now, 1/60th of my figs. Well, you could give it to the kohen. I mean, it's not forbidden to give it. It's not bikurim. It's not holy. And guess what? The kohen now is going to have to separate truma and maaser from that. Because bikurim, there's no truma and maaser on bikurim. Because that's the very, it's still on the tree when I'm separating it. So that's off. And that's not in the cheshbon. I don't have to worry about any truma and maaser on that. But if now I come in with a second species and take that off the tree, well, that already, that's not bikurim really. You want to give a gift to the kohen, you're more than welcome to do that. But that is going to have a certain degree of tevel related to it. Now, the kohen will separate trumas and maestras. He can give it to himself too. But he has to separate trumas and maestras in order to have that. Rambam doesn't say, but that is the real nafkamina over there. Okay, now, b'med, when do we see that this tosefes is a legitimate tosefes? Kishahevi me'eretz Yisrael. When you add on from the biblically part of Eretz Yisrael that was captured initially. What do you bring from outside of the other side of Jordan River or from Syria? We already said the Hechiv is only rabbinic. It's not like Bikurim. And even though this case of the Tosefes from stuff outside of the main part of Israel is not Bikurim, and the Etor, which is from the different species, is not Bikurim, but you already separated it, so still, but you still have to eat it in a holy state. Okay, in a holy state. Now, one other thing. Let's say you want to use a different species. You can't make an eter on biturim in any place, meaning in Israel or outside Israel. Ella mishiva saminim, only from the seven species. In other words, it's like to beautify it. In other words, you decided, okay, I had my dates, I want to make it look a little nicer. I'm going to put some pomegranates all around.
No oranges.
You can pomegranate. You can't do it with oranges. It doesn't say what happens if you did. Again, I would assume you can always give it to the kohen, but now it doesn't even have to be eaten. It doesn't have to be even eaten batara.
No.
It's like nothing. Okay, now finally, we're going to discuss exactly how you do it. How do you do it? You test. Ketzad mafrishna bikurim. How do you exactly, what's the process of separating and declaring these bikurim? Your age, you go down into your field, in other words, while they're still on the tree, which is unique. There's no other gift of agricultural gifts that are done while it's still on the tree. But this, you're gifting it while it's on the tree. Adam goes to soch sadev into his field, as opposed into somebody else's field. Veroni sees, for example, te'ena, a fig, shabikra, that is already getting ripened. Not fully ripened, but it's ripening. He knows it's on the way. It will definitely be fully ripened at a later date when I want to go to Yerushalayim. But, you know, as opposed to it's just a little bud, you don't even know what's going to happen. It's already ripening and it's on the path. Or eshkol anovim, or a cluster of grapes, shabikra that ripened, or remain shabikor, or be care, or pomegranate that ripened. I don't know why the Ram picked these three, and he didn't pick, what else could he have picked? A fig? He did a fig. A grape, olives.
What? Olives and dates.
And dates. I don't know why he didn't pick a date. But anyway, so what does he do? Now, you could take a whole bunch of them. You can take from, you know, five different species. They can all be Bikurim. It doesn't have to only be one species, right? Kosher Megemi. Now he ties it around with a little bit of a reed, so make a marker. V'omrin, he says, Hare Elu Bikurim. These are Bikurim. And interestingly, V'em Nasim Bikurim Bimachubar. They become Bikurim as they are attached to the ground. When? Mishkol Hashem. When he announces that these are Bikurim. Now, if he doesn't say anything and just puts the reed around it, it's nothing. Now, they're not fully ripened. They are now Bikurim at this point in the game, and you cannot do anything with them. And they're not included in now, if you want to separate Truma and Mice, you're going to harvest, they're excluded from all that. It belongs to Hashem. Now, Umishya Gamru, now when they are fully ripened, and then the Tlashem and Karu, then you're going to cut them off from the ground. You don't have to rename them Bikurim. They've already been named. And that's the way you do it. And then you just take it to your Shalayim and Shalom al Yisrael.
But if you do a 60th of your crop, there's a ton. That's a lot of stuff. That's like, so, that's just one reed. That's many.
Well, but you do a reed in that section. Yeah, that section. You know it's the beginning of the row. You know, in other words, you designate in a way that you will know exactly what you may be. He could say, this whole, let's say you have 60 fig trees. So you put a gemi on one and say, this tree, everything on this tree is going, or whatever. 600 trees? So you put a reed around 10 trees, or whatever, and say, these 10 trees, whatever. Whatever you want to designate, if you're going to designate something a few weeks later, that would be a tosefes, right? Now, that's the way you're supposed to do it. But what if you didn't do it that way? What if you didn't give anything until you started cutting down all the stuff? You forgot, or whatever. Lohi Frishiba Mukhubar, what if you did not designate them when they were attached and put the little reed around that? For the Kodesh, you didn't give it any name at all. Utlashim, now you've harvested them. Oh, I didn't do any Bikurim. Hareza Mafrish Achar Shinislash, you can now separate them after you have harvested them, and that's the first thing you take off. But now you got to be careful. That's the main thing. Now, what about Tuma? You got to be careful. This cannot get Tuma because you got to give it. Belongs to Hashem. It's Kodesh. It's got to go to the coin. V'imnitnu ha'peres kulin. What if all the fruits that you designated as Bikurim became Tuma? Now, you know why I said all? Because if some did, you could use the ones that haven't, because even a mashahu is okay. Right? If, let's say, most of them become Tuma, so fine. Let me do the ones that aren't Tuma. Because Bidiyev, I don't have to exchange. Bidiyev, I give one fig's enough. Oh. As long as, remember we said? Now, it's not your fault. You intended on giving 1/60th. And guess what happened? A bunch of rodents came and attacked your fruits after they got cut.
They attacked the designated ones.
Yes, then they're tummy. It's out.
You can take another one that wasn't.
No.
Well, if you want to, but you don't have to. Okay, but let's say all the fruits became tummy.
Right.
All of them. And everything. Let's say even the not everything. The whole lot. You can't separate Bikurim as their tummy. So what do you got to do? You got to find another group. Oh, you find another group. Ela mafrish, but separate minator. Find a tohar group from tohar peris al hatame lechachila. You can separate from them to take care of the tummy ones. That's you own more than one field. So you can say, okay, these ones are out. I'm going to separate a different one instead of that. Well, that's okay. But what if anal peris? What do you have? No other peros. Lahafrishman. All the fruits in every farm that you own, every fruit is tummy. You're a little piece to me. You can't separate into them. Shame,
right.
You can't separate because all you're going to be able to do with it is destroy it. Not the same as truma, as we see in a second. Can you appear to me? In other words, if all your crops are tummy, no bikurim this year. Shabikurim shenitmu, because bikurim are tummy, ain't a massive one that you can't even use it to heat up the stove. That's the halacha. Which is not like truma, tamei that you could. Why? Hem shehem kekotshei mikdash. They're like the holy things that belong to the base of Mingus, which you may not personally benefit from. Truma Kohen may benefit from, and he Kohen can use it as firewood. But you can't, nobody can, because that's Hashem's, and only the Kohen is allowed to eat and nothing else from that. Yeah.
Didn't the Netzaravai have Kedusha while still on the tree? I thought you said this is the only one that has Kedusha.
No, but this is what you're designating. Uh-huh. Netta Ravoy doesn't even need your designation.
Right. It's already,
this is what you designate as car. Okay, now what about junky stuff? Hamafrish bikurav. What if you separate your bikurim? But look what happened to them. Vinamakwa. After you separate, they're beautiful. They rot.
Oh,
nivzazu, or they get stolen right out. Oh, avdu, are lost. Oh, shenin, where they're stolen covertly. Oh, shenitmu, or they become tummy after tithing. Chayav lahafish achreim tachtem. You have to separate others instead of them. You bring them, but you don't read. Shenemer, because it says, Tavi beis Hashemachach, bring them to the house of Hashem, your God. Lamed, that teaches shu chayav rechus, he's chayav with responsibility. Because once you separate, you're responsible to bring something and replace it. And because it says to bring it to Hashem. Achivem laharabayis, until you actually bring it to the harabayis, not left out of the harabayis, but the azara, because it says you separate and you got to give it to Hashem. So you have an obligation, a responsibility to give it. One more halacha, we're done. Chaf Aleph. Hamafrish. Here's an interesting halacha here. Remember, normal circumstances, only the owner who separates and plans to go to Yerushalayim with it, he's the only one who could read. A shliach, we'll see, if cannot read for you. We'll see in which case, but that's going to be the problem here. Hamafrish bikurav, a person separates bikurav, and his intention is lahalosam biyod Yerushalayim. He plans on taking them himself to Yerushalayim and doing everything in Yerushalayim, and that was what he intended when he separated it. Then he changed his mind. He said, oh, you know what? I'm going to send Shmerel to take it over there. Lo yishchem biyad shlich. You should not send it with a shaliach, because once you do that, now you got a problem that they can only be read by you and not by anybody else, and therefore won't be able to work. Okay? If you were the one, when you planned on doing that, then they only become permitted to eat with the reading. And we know a shaliach cannot read, because we're going to see that law in a minute, that he brings but doesn't read. And since they were separate on the condition to bring them, so they're only permitted when the owner himself reads it. However, so what if he picked them, and when he picked them, he said, I'm not planning on bringing, I'm planning to send it with a shaliach. I raise a mutl, you can send to them, because then there was no obligation to read it. In other words, when you pick it, that at that point, we'll see later on, when is the obligation that these fruits need the psukim to be read? When they're picked, and you plan on bringing it. At that point, you've designated, and I'm going to bring it. Now, the only way those things can be eaten is if you read the psukim. Can't send it with a shliach, because whenever a shliach sends, you don't read the psukim. Now, if you don't need to read the psukim, you can send the shliach. But here, you need to read the psukim. When I pick it, and I say, I ain't going, I'm sending with a shliach. So there's no need, you do not read anymore. And now the shliach brings it, since you don't need the reading to allow the eating, the shliach can do it. Again, if you plan on taking it, that's when there's an obligation to read it, and then the fruits are not allowed to be eaten until that obligation has been taken care of. Now, if you're going to send it with a shliach never, nothing he sends gets read, and therefore they can never eat those fruits, so don't send it with a shliach. What are you going to tell me if he gets sick and can't make it? I don't know. But anyway, but if you pick it with the intention of not going, then it can be eaten without reading, and then you can send it with a shliach, who will not read it, and the kohen can eat it.